Good morning. How are we this morning? Everyone doing good? Amazing. Well, hey, I was thinking this morning as I was driving here, isn't it amazing that we can know God? That he makes himself known to us and that he desires to reveal himself to us. And that knowledge is more than just a cognitive knowledge, but that he desires for us to experience in him. And as we gather in this place this morning, the invitation for us as we worship him is to also encounter him. And he desires to pour himself out on us this morning. I want to invite you to stand, and I just want to read this over us as a prayer to posture our hearts that we would come into this place this morning expectant to meet with God because he longs to reveal himself to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. May God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Amen? So God, we want to meet with you this morning. We want to see you rightly. We want to see you as you are. And God, as we gaze upon you, Lord, would you transform us? Would you make us more into the image of Christ? We love you, God. We bless your name in this place this morning. Just sing this out as a prayer. Say, open the eyes. Say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Our desire.
your hand is torn, the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room before you. I bow. Your hand is torn, the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside.
Our love is the secret that I thank you, God, that you are all that we need. You are all that we could ever want, God. Thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you see us. Jesus, just fill this room and fill our hearts with your spirit, God, that we know that you have invited us in, God, that we get to do community with you, God, that we get to serve you. God, we need you, God, for your plans over our plans, God, your ways over our ways. Jesus, I just pray for the person or persons that struggle to come in today, God, that thought that they were not seen or they were not worthy or they were not loved. God, would you meet them right where they are, God? Would they encounter you for the first time, God, and know that you have plans and your ways are better? God, we love you. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen. Man, let's just give him some praise this morning. You may have a seat, and I would love to invite the ushers forward to receive the offering. And if this is your first time with us this morning, please do not feel any obligation to give. We are just so glad that you are here. And we just invite you to come to one of our connection counters after service. We have two in the lobby, one out on the patio. And for the last several weeks, we have been talking about that it is time for us to bring in a new board. And we've had the papers about the bios, about the people that are running. And today is voting day. And we are so excited. And actually, everybody on here, it is an affirmation vote that... you all, our church family, were the ones that suggested the people. We have prayed. We feel certain that God has called them to this time, at such a time as this, to serve on our board. And we are so thankful. So we invite, if you are a member, we would love for you to vote after service. We have ballots in the lobby. We have another place on the patio. So come on out and vote. If you are not a member and you would like to be, we have Crash Course available online. You can see somebody after service, and we will register you for that. So I am so excited. Are you all ready to hear what God has done in the lives of our students at Hume and our adults? So would you please watch this video?
I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood of his good as me. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood of his good as me. Oh, hallelujah.
Let's go.
And unclean, sin was stained on me, and shame was running deep, but love was spilled on Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. And God, how can it be? I'm ransomed and redeemed, and standing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as you. Hallelujah, here I come. as you tickle in the shame. Bring me nearer to the cross. You got me running out of grace. Hallelujah, yeah. Oh, you took it away. Oh, you took away my shame.
Lake 2026 was an amazing success for us. We had the privilege of baptizing 18 of our students, and we had one student who decided for the first time that she wanted to follow Christ. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit about our student ministry and the students that we took to Hume Lake. And it doesn't encompasses kind of all of a wide variety of students that we bring. But some students that we bring to Hume Lake or are a part of our student ministry are walking their faith all by themselves. About 80% of our students that come on a Wednesday night are unchurched students, meaning a lot of them actually attend church here, but their parents drop them off and go along their way. Many of our students are having their own conviction from the Lord. They don't have parents that are putting boundaries down or rules down, but they are putting that down for themselves. Many of our students are starting Bible studies on their own at coffee shops. A couple of our students have started Bible studies or clubs at their schools. Two of our students started clubs in the elementary school, in the sixth grade at their elementary schools. These students are sharing wisdom with their family members. They're praying and believing for their family members to come to Christ. These students are getting their families to come to church for the very first time or to come back to church. And these students could not have come to Hume Lake if it wasn't for your financial support and your help. And so I just want to give you a big round of applause for getting them there. So thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for the ones that serve. Thank you for the ones that gave up a week of their time, for our cabin leaders to give up a week of their time, a week of vacation to come and to serve these young people, to come and to get sleepless nights and, you know, be exhausted. So we are just so grateful. There is just been a team that gets these students here. What we're going to do right now is we call this our say-so time. It's backed in scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where it talks about how we overcome evil. And it says we overcome evil by the blood of the Lamb, so by Jesus and what he did on the cross. But it also says by the word of our testimony. And this is going to be so important in the years to come. And because I've been hanging out with these students, and many of these students are being raised in the generation of AI, where they do not believe the things that they see. They do not believe the images that they see on the internet. But their testimony is what is going to be powerful. Their testimony is what that's going to go out to the world, that someone can't say, no, you didn't. No, you didn't experience that. So their testimonies are so powerful, and so I'm so grateful first to hand it off to Devin, who did give up a week's salary, a week of his life to come and serve the students of New Life.
We're gonna have Ezra go first.
Hi, I'm Ezra, and this is my sixth year going to Hume. I've been going since elementary in fifth grade, and every year, I'm like always excited for it because I love Hume. It's like one of my favorite places, if not my favorite. And I'm always expecting God to move. I'm always expecting it to be so fun. My cabin's gonna be great. But every year, I always get something different out of it that I wasn't expecting. And this year was like the biggest for me, I would say. And I had the blessing to have Devin and CJ as my leaders, and Zave helped as well. And they were great. They helped us a lot. And I think what I got out of it most was our cabin time. It was just truly amazing. We were all able to be so vulnerable. I don't know what it was up there, but we were just able to talk about what we've struggled with in the past, really deep stuff, and even like stuff that's not as deep, but we were just able to share it with each other and trust each other, and that was so powerful because we were able to lay hands on each other, pray, worship in that cabin. It was just so amazing that we got to do all that, and I was even able to share my testimony, which I haven't shared to too many people besides close family and friends, so that was just a big step for me, and I'm very blessed that God's given that to me, and I was just so grateful to be up there because I got to see one of my close friends, Kellen, get baptized, and that was amazing to see, and I'm just, I don't know, it was just overall a great experience, definitely different than the years prior, because we're just all able to grow closely, not just because of the jokes in the cabin and having fun, but also just from the things that were hard to share, and one of the guys there said that healing begins in community, and healing begins with honesty, and both of those stuck with me throughout the week, and I was able to be honest about what I struggled with, and honest with community around me, and it was just, great to be able to share, and that God's been able to heal me in my cabin, so yeah.
Hi, my name is Lizzie. Before Hume, I was struggling and having a lot of doubts in my faith, and I think going to Hume and just being surrounded with people that were also believers, and it just helped a lot. I was able to see the Holy Spirit move, and also having such a great church and community that was so supportive and open to each other that I was able to confess to and pray with. Meeting and getting closer with friends that I was able to grow in faith with, and just having the realization that I wasn't alone in my struggles, and there's other people, like, we may not realize it, but there's other people that are going through the same things as we are. A verse that I found that correlates with this is Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Hi, my name is Jocelyn. This is my third year of going to Hume, and I'm a senior, so unfortunately my last year. One of the biggest things I took away from Hume is that Christianity is not just something you claim, it's something you live. It's not about having the title of Christian or having people know you go to church or see you raising your hands during worship or see that you go to youth group and you surround yourself with Christian people. It's about having a real relationship with Jesus and allowing him to change your life. What really impacted me is the reality that heaven and hell are real, eternity is real. Every person that you pass every single day is going to eternity somewhere. When I realized that, it changed the way I think about sharing my faith. Sharing the gospel isn't just something we're supposed to do when it's convenient to us or when we're in an environment where it's more accepted, like youth group or in a church community, and we're allowed to share our faith because that's what the norm is. I feel like we need to be able to share our faith with everyone that we see. To all the student section, like, we're in class every single day with the same people every day, sitting next to the same person every day. We should be able to open up about our faith to that person, or to the adults, you know, like, you're working, you're able to open up to your faith, like, about your faith to your coworkers, or just to, you know, people you see in the grocery store, people you see walking on the street, your families, your friends. Like, it's not about what's comfortable to you, and sometimes it means stepping out of our comfort zones, having difficult conversations, or facing rejection. But if we truly love people, how can we stay silent about the hope we found in Christ? I also learned that no matter what we go through, God is always there. Through every struggle, every fear, every hardship, he remains faithful. He doesn't abandon us when things get hard. What I want you guys to take away from this is that we need to stop living like we have unlimited time, because we don't. Tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. If God is calling you to take your faith seriously, do it today. If he's calling you to share the gospel with someone, do it today. Don't let comfort stop you from being obedient, because what is at stake is far greater than our temporary comfort. It's eternity.
Hi, guys. So my name is Charlotte Martinez, and I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about my amazing experience at Hume Lake this past week. So growing up, I've learned to kind of self-teach myself about God and learn to grow in my faith really by myself, because my family has never been the type to, like, go to church every Sunday. And so I thought going to Hume would be the perfect opportunity for me to really grow in my faith and understand him from a deeper perspective. And it's really, really hard to put a life-changing and very memorable week into a small speech, but I'm going to try my best. Hume brought out many new emotions, thoughts, questions, and more, but it really just helped me get closer to God, and it made me feel his presence like I never have before. There truly was never a dull moment the whole week I was there, and every day I'd wake up with a positive attitude and a smile on my face. I experienced a really deep and spiritual connection with God during my week at Hume during worship. We were all singing, and all of a sudden, a deep feeling hit me. It's hard to explain the feeling exactly, but all I can say is that it felt like God was there with me. It was like he stood next to me and told me everything was going to be okay. In that moment, it felt like a weight of sin, stress, anxiety, and all of that stuff being lifted off my chest. And right after that, I started bawling my eyes out, and I couldn't stop. They weren't sad tears at all. They're the complete opposite. They were all tears of joy. That's when it hit me that I am so beyond lucky to be loved by God. I felt like I needed to share specifically that part of my Hume trip because it was something you really won't fully understand until you experience yourself. Over the week, our main leader or pastor was reading from the book of Psalms, and I wanted to share one of my favorite Psalms he read to us. It was Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. This psalm really stood out to me because it shows that God might not answer your prayers right away, but that he has a special plan and timing for you. David waited patiently for the Lord to answer his prayer, and after time went on, he got results and he thanked God. And our Lord is never too busy for you, and he will answer your prayers no matter what. Thank you for listening, and if you haven't before, I highly recommend you try and go to Hume sometime in your life because it really is an experience you will never forget.
Hi, my name is Lennon, and today I'll be talking about baptism. When people think about baptism, they often think it's just getting in the water, but to me, it's so much more than that. It's a way of publicly professing your faith and a way of showing everyone that you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I've always talked about baptism with my parents, but it never really became more than just a conversation. Then this past week, while I was at Hume, everything changed. Throughout the week, I grew so much closer to God, and my relationship with him became stronger than it ever had been before. I realized that my faith wasn't something I believed in, it was something I wanted to live out. I also wanted to follow the example that Jesus had for us and to be obedient to what he calls us to do. Baptism doesn't save someone, but it's an outward expression of the faith I already have in my life. It's my way of saying that I want to follow him for the rest of my life. To me, baptism also represents leaving my old life behind and stepping into the new life that God has for me. In Colossians 2:12, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. That verse reminds me that baptism is a symbol of leaving my old life behind and stepping into the new life that God has given me. It's a picture of the new life I have because of my faith in Jesus and a reminder that I want to keep following him every single day. So while I was at Hume, I knew it was finally my time. God gave me the courage and peace to take this step, and I'm so thankful for everything he's done in my life. Today, I'm excited to publicly declare my faith and continue walking with him wherever he leads me.
Hi, my name is Zoe, and today I'm going to be talking about why I got baptized and how my faith with Jesus has grown over this year. I decided to get baptized because my faith has become an important part of my life, and I wanted to publicly show that I am choosing to follow Jesus. To me, baptism is more than just getting in the water. It's also a symbol of leaving behind my old life and beginning a new life with Christ. It doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but it does mean that I want to keep growing in my faith and trusting God and following his plan for my life. One thing I've learned is that following Jesus isn't just about believing in him, it's about trusting him every day, even when I don't understand what he's doing. Baptism is a way of saying that I want God to guide my life and that I trust the path he has for me. As I continue growing in my faith, I want to stay connected to God through prayer, spend time in his word, and be surrounded by people who encourage me in my relationships with him. I'm excited to see where God leads me and what he has planned for my future. A verse that really reflects what baptism means to me is Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live in a new life. Thank you for letting me share a little bit about my faith and why this step is so important to me.
As a counselor and just first time in general. I've never been as a camper, and it's been it was an amazing experience. I've always heard about Hume and I've always wanted to go, and something that you'll always hear is that the Lord is definitely there on the mountain, and it's known to be, a lot of people have heard it, like there's a Hume High there, and which is meaning you feel the presence of God really there, and then you come back, and then you go back to your normal life. You have your phone, you have your normal, the things that you go to, and the special thing that I felt was going there and being able to connect with these kids, my boys that are going into seventh grade. I've had them since they were in, going into sophomore year, sorry, and that they're, I have had them since they were in seventh grade. It was such a blessing to be able to know them personally on a deeper level. And something that stuck with me the most, Chris Hilkin said, was that God is so much more than what we think he is, than who he actually is. And he's a perfect God. And we had a great cabin discussion time. It lasted over an hour and a half, and we missed lunch. And it was a crazy experience to see these men of God sit in a cabin and open up with one another, which is so hard to do. Philip mentioned in the first service that this generation is one of the hardest generations to be able to open up with others and stand before others and get on a deeper level. And the experience of just that cabin time alone, Xavier helped lead that. And one of the questions he brought was, what is something that you're bringing into this week, heavy on your heart? And these boys sat there and they got deep and they opened up about some of their sins, and some of them were experiencing the same things. And I've felt this before, but I know these boys also felt it, is that confessing your sins to one another brings out connection. Because if you look at the person next to you, your left and your right, I'm sure there's someone in this room that is going through the same things that you're going through or already have. And a scripture that I read on Thursday when we did this Hume recap was James 1 through 17, 13 through 17, and it is, when I remember when you are being tempted, do not say God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which is entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes, or he casts out a shifting shadow. And just the scripture really spoke to myself as well, because sometimes you wanna blame God, or you wanna blame the things that you're going through on somebody else. And sometimes it comes within us. Sometimes it comes from our own desires. And God calls us to be wiped clean. And he calls us to confess our sins, especially to one another. And the body, which is the church, it is so powerful to be able to come in as a community and be able to have a prayer team, be able to sit next to somebody and be able to open up and meet and get into the word together. But I just want to encourage you guys that some people may say that this next generation that is coming up, people say that it's cooked or it's not doing well. And I just want to say, Tammy said this in the first service, come to a Wednesday night. You guys are already here at 11 a.m. service, but just watching these kids worship and watching these kids at our church time get on a deeper level with one another, that is hard to do. And it's such a blessing to see the kids that are, people say that are so, so broken, and I've heard it from them, they're living up and they're getting up and they're sharing the word and they're praising God, and they're not only doing it here, they're doing it at their schools, and they're doing it when they're with one another. So I just encourage you guys to be able to do the same. When it feels uncomfortable, be comfortable when in uncomfortable situations. And so just be able to share the gospel and share the great news when you're at your workplace or when you're just going out. But thank you for listening.
Amen. And thank you, church, for praying for us. 2 weeks ago, there was some bracelets that you guys got to wear and pray for us, and we felt your prayers, and everything was so smoothly. And like I said, our students really encountered the love of God, and so thank you for praying for us.
That's some holy ground, amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, and I invite you to stand for the reading of the word. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it." And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses, here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is the land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go. For I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations.' This is the word of God for the people of God," and all people responded, "Thanks be to God." You may have a seat. I've been sensing a stirring to add that liturgy to the end of our scripture readings for the last kind of several months. It might be the first time that you've said that, the word of God to the people of God, thanks be to God. It might be something that you grew up saying. But I'm reminded, like, how important it is to recognize that the word of God is a gift to us. And that the word of God is food for our soul, that the word of God is something that we can receive, that it's not something we have to chase after, it's not something that we have to conquer, it's not something we have to simply just try to figure out, that it's the gift that God has given us to reveal himself to us. And so as we're reading this passage, I think one of the challenges that we come across is that for many of us, what we are longing for is not the word of God, what we are longing for is a burning bush moment. What we are longing for is for God to move in some type of miraculous way to reveal himself to us. And so we walk around our lives and walk around this world, and we're longing for God to move and give us a burning bush moment to bring some type of clarity to our life when God has already given us his revelation. God has given us not only his revelation in the word of God, but through the word, Jesus Christ. And so he's given us a burning bush to reveal to us who he is and who he is calling us to be. And it's not something that we have to wait for. It's something he's already revealed to us. But again, for many of us, that's not actually what we're looking for. We find ourselves looking for a burning bush moment as it relates to a relationship that we're in. We find ourselves looking for a burning bush moment as it relates to what job we should take, or promotion we should take, or move we should make. We find ourselves looking for a burning bush moment for some type of decision. Should I go through door A or door B? Or what about door C? It's always C. It's always C. But we find ourselves looking and wanting and longing for some type of clarity. And I think where we make the misstep is that we find ourselves in these situations looking for direction, but not just direction that's revealed to us through the word. We find ourselves looking for direction like a GPS map. I love it when, and they've advanced, right? You know, some of you don't even know, well, first of all, some of you don't know that your whole GPS used to be folded up in your glove compartment. And then we advanced a little bit and we got to kind of MapQuest, and think how dangerous that was. You're sitting there, they're worried about you being on your phone. I'm like flipping through 15 pages trying to figure out where I'm going. And then we get to GPS, and it used to be like, you know, turn left, and you're like, where? Like when? And now it's gotten so refined that it's like in 500 feet, turn left. And I think that's what we actually want. We're not actually concerned with the presence of God. We're actually concerned with God. In 500 feet, do I go through this door or that door? Do I marry this person or that person? Do I take this job or that job? Do I go to this college or that college? Do I take this promotion or that promotion? We want it so dialed in that we know every single step. And so for some of us, the reason we long for burning bush moments is because we want direction. For others of us, it's timing. We want to know when this season is done and the next season is going to begin. And so we're asking ourselves questions about timing all the time. And we're God, would you just give me a burning bush that gives me your timing in my life so that I don't have to trust in you and I don't have to worry about your presence. Just give me your timing ahead of time. Or third, sometimes we're looking for answers. And so we're longing for just a specific answer that would just kind of give us guidance in our lives. And so we long for that answer, or maybe it's understanding. Something's happened in our life and we want some type of understanding. Something to make it make sense. Maybe it was something that was painful. Maybe there was suffering involved. Maybe there was discouragement. Maybe there was failure. And we're just looking for something, a burning bush moment where God could give us some type of understanding for why what took place actually took place. But then I come to a story like Exodus chapter 3, and there's three things that like jump out at me that kind of push back on this idea that I should be longing for these burning bush moments. And the first one is this: I don't need a sign, I need more of the presence of God. The story isn't about these burning bush moments. The story isn't about this thing where we're like, all right, God, do something miraculous and give me specific direction and give me specific answer, give me specific guidance, give me a specific timing. The whole experience wasn't about that. The whole experience was that Moses was going through his mundane, ordinary life outside of the presence of God, and God in his providence, God in his design of what I want to call prevenient grace, draws Moses back into his presence, and all of a sudden in the ordinary, mundane things of life, God's presence shows up. And Moses becomes aware of it. And again, I think this is some of the challenge that we have behind this idea, is because we're like, all right, how do I go to Sunday gathering or Sunday worship and then God's presence will show up? Or you kind of heard it said, how do I go to Hume on the mountaintop and then God's presence is going to show up? And so sometimes when we're looking for understanding, and sometimes when we're looking for guidance, and sometimes when we're looking for an answer, sometimes we're desiring a burning bush moment, we'll try to manufacture that in order to get the answer that we want. And so maybe you take your Bible and you go down to the beach and you hear those waves crashing and you open up the Word and you click on your favorite playlist from whatever worship band that you enjoy listening to. The sun's just beginning to set. The seagulls are lightly cawing behind you. You do what any good American does. You take out your phone and you make sure you capture it so you can post it later. And then you're like, all right, God, here I am. I'm listening. But what you're after in that moment is an answer. What you're after in that moment is direction. What you're after in that moment is understanding. Moses doesn't go over to the burning bush because he needs an answer. He doesn't go over there because he wants understanding. He doesn't go over there for any other reason in that God draws him and he moves towards his curiosity in the presence of God. And so we often find ourselves chasing signs or chasing answers or chasing understandings. And what's beautiful is that when God invites us into his presence, he doesn't need us to have it all figured out. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants us to experience the fullness of who he is. And so Moses' curiosity kind of intersects with God's providence in his life. And he gets curious about who God is. And he walks over there and he articulates the second thing that I see in this text that I think is one of the most pivotal things that we see throughout the entirety of Scripture. And he responds with the only appropriate response to the presence of God, which is this: here I am. Here I am. I mean, think about this for a moment. You're walking along, just minding your own business. Dev, you're just cutting hair, just chilling, cutting hair. All of a sudden, some bush begins to burn, but it's not being consumed. And out of nowhere, this voice goes, Devin, Devin. I'd be like, nope. I'm out of here. I'm not getting curious about that. And so that's what sometimes we do. We are more curious about the answer. We are more curious about getting understanding. We're more curious about the GPS map than we are about the presence of God. And so we're constantly asking ourselves and trying to seek insight and going to the Word and going, but what we're pursuing is the answer. What we're pursuing is understanding. What we're pursuing is direction. What we're pursuing is the itinerary. We're not actually pursuing the presence of God. Now, we want to know that he's around. Like, so we'll take out the binoculars and be like, I think it's like my wife and I, when we're down at the ocean, we're looking for like whales. And all of a sudden you see the spouts. And then you start questioning yourself, was that a seagull diving there or was that a spout? Was that actually a whale or wasn't it? And so the only way to really be for sure, get curious and know what those are, is to actually go out into the deeper waters, take one of those charters and they take you out there and you begin to see these whales like moving about. The invitation in the Scripture is to get up close and personal with the presence of God and to experience the fullness that he is and to respond with this, here I am. And this is the response that we see throughout Scripture. Now, you may not have picked up on this. It's also a reversal of what we see in Genesis chapter 3. Because in Genesis chapter 3, God is walking in the cool of the day, the Scripture says, and he calls out and he says, Adam, where are you? And what does Adam do? He hides. He doesn't say anything. And so we come to the story of Moses, and it's the very first time that we hear these words echoing and reminding us of the reversal that God is doing, because we don't have to hide from God's presence. He invites us to get cured. Moses wasn't doing really good things. He was actually running from a decision he made to murder an Egyptian soldier on his own. And so he had ran to Midian, and he was kind of just going about doing his own thing. But again, God in his providence says, you know what? I want you to know, I want to recover the relationship that I had with humanity in the garden. And so he invites Abram, as we talked about last week, and then he invites Moses into relationship with him, into his presence with him. And the response of Moses, we're going to see it again and again throughout Scripture. Here I am. We hear it in the story of Samuel later on in 1 Kings. Eli, his mentor, Samuel runs into his room three times. He says, I'm hearing somebody call me. Who is it? Who is it? And eventually he says, when he calls you again, this is after the second time, when he calls you again, say, here I am, your servant is listening. Because Samuel had never heard the voice of God in that particular way. Some of you students have never heard the voice of the God like you heard this last week. Some of us adults have never heard the voice of God like he's speaking to you right now. And the appropriate answer is, here I am, your servant is listening. Isaiah, here I am, send me. Mary, right? Here I am, may it be as you have said it will be. And then if you go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus actually utilizes these same exact words as an invitation to you and I to respond with these exact words. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens that door and invites me in, well, I will have fellowship with him. And he's longing for people to say, here I am. To open up the door and not be hidden, not look for through the peephole, but to open up the door and say, here I am, God. And this is the invitation that God invites us to. That we'd experience the fullness of who he is, because no longer do you have to hide your face from God. Because of who Jesus is, the veil has been removed. And the invitation is into his throne room. That's why we sang that before, right? That we can enter, the doors swing wide open, and we can enter into his throne room, and we can experience the fullness of God, and we can experience the presence of God, and yet we're still chasing our little details for our life. When the God of the universe, the one who is Yahweh, the one who says, I am, is his presence is available to us. This is who he is. And so we don't need a sign, we need his presence. And we respond by saying, here I am. And the reason you can say, here I am, is because he will be with you. Who will be with me? Yahweh, I am, will be with you. The name was so radical, mostly because in ancient times what you would have is that you would have people who would run to various gods or who they believed were gods in order to get answers, understanding their GPS map, or have them do favors for them. It was never about pursuing God, it was about pursuing stuff. So if you wanted a better harvest, you'd pray to the harvest god. If you wanted to have a kid, you'd pray to the fertility god. If you needed rain, you'd pray for the rain, pray to the rain god. You'd run around to these various gods trying to pursue them for your particular answer, for your particular life. But in this story, we begin to realize that God is inviting Moses, and God is inviting you and I, not into our own particular story where we kind of invite him and say, hey, God, can you be a little bit a part of this? He's actually inviting us into his story, into his presence. The one who is sufficient, I am. The one who we don't need to run to this God and that God and that God because he is all things. The one who is over all and above all and in all and through all. He is everything. And so we don't have to run around to the various gods trying to find out what are his, like, what the answer to our particular question. We need to walk into the presence of I am and spend time in the presence of I am and know that we walk daily in the ordinary mundane of life in the presence of I am and say, God, no matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what happens in this situation, no matter what the answer or outcome is, I am is with me. Is with me. That's the invitation. The I am would be with you. Life gets hard, harder than maybe we ever expected. In fact, for those of you that maybe are in the time of graduation, there's a book that circulates around kind of that time of year. It's by Dr. Seuss. It's called "Oh, the Places You Will Go." And in that particular story, there's some really good things that you should probably know is that sometimes you're going to have success, and sometimes you're going to wait, and sometimes you're going to fail. And those are some really good things to be aware of because that is part of what life will look like. There'll be some success, and there'll be some failure, and there'll be some waiting. But that's about where the helpfulness of this book ends. Because the rest of it is just really bad theology. Someone's like, oh, I gave that to my grandson. I can't believe that. Just stay with me for just a second because I think the intention is good. Yeah, right. There's going to be seasons where you'll fail and there's seasons where you're going to wait and there's seasons where you're going to have success. But at the end of the day, what the places you'll go teaches us is that we are the center of our story. We are the center of all things, that we are the main character in all of this. And if we have enough grit and if we have enough patience and if we have enough fortitude, then we will be able to accomplish things in life, regardless of what happens. The problem with that is that you and I are not the main characters in the story. God is the main character in the story, and he invites us into his story, not the other way around. So if you go back to the beginning of this idea of looking for burning bush moments, it's like you want a burning bush moment so that your main character does better. But that's not the invitation that God gives us. The invitation that God gives us is that he is the main character, and we are invited into his story and his ways. And yes, there are going to be moments of success and there are going to be moments of failure and there are going to be moments of waiting. But his promise is not that he will make you stronger and give you more grit. His promise is he will be with you through it all. That is his promise. And we actually see that in the life of Moses. Because if you keep reading, you learn that Moses is going to do some waiting. In fact, he's going to do 40 years of waiting. But he's going to have some success. We'll preach into that next week where we talk about Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and coming to the barrier of the Red Sea. And through the power of God, he splits the Red Sea. I mean, he's going to have some success. And he's going to have some failure. If you read far enough long in the story, you learn that because of disobedience, Moses is not allowed to enter into the promised land. And in that moment, God doesn't say peace out. In that moment, he doesn't just kind of push Moses to the side. In that moment, the same promise that he made to Moses in the burning bush still maintained and true, even though he failed, even though he didn't receive the success that he thought he was going to have in the promised land. The same promise that God gave him in the burning bush maintains, I will be with you. So maybe there's really two things that I want you to kind of wrap your heart and your mind around in these coming days. Maybe it's that rather than pursuing understanding, rather than pursuing direction, rather than pursuing answers, what if you began to pursue the presence of God? Because no matter if you took door A or door B, if the presence of God isn't with you, you'll always just be chasing the next answer, the next piece of the puzzle. In fact, Moses teaches us this also. When God calls him and the people of Israel to move, he says these words, God, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us up from this place. And so being a church and a people that pursue the presence of God, not just simply understanding the presence of God. One of the very first Bible verses that I learned, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, enter into his presence. In all thy ways, worship him. In all thy ways, make sure that your heart is in alignment with him, and he will make your path straight. So the burning bush moment is not about me getting the answer. The burning bush moment isn't about the GPS itinerary. The burning bush moment is about the presence of God. And no matter what happens, no matter the circumstance, no matter where life takes you, no matter if there's success or failure or waiting, if God is with you, he will make your path straight. Amen. And so it's about his presence. It's about trusting in him. It's about walking with him. It's about experiencing him. So I don't know where your life maybe finds you right now. I don't know what you have been pursuing or saying, God, would you give me clarity? Would you give me a burning bush moment for this? What if that shifted and you said, God, I don't know what next week's going to look like. I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. I don't know what 3 years from now is going to look like, but I know this. I want your presence to go with me. And if you are with me, that is all that matters. I need you with me. Maybe even to the point where you stop praying for your specific answers to whatever circumstance or problem you're facing. And instead of that, say, God, would you just insert more of your presence in the situation? More of who you are. More of who you are needs to be put in the situation. Someone today might be wrestling with a relationship or a marriage situation. And you're saying, God, would you heal this? Would you answer? Would you make my spouse act like I think they should act? What if the prayer just simply became, God, would more of your presence be in this relationship? More of your presence be in this relationship? More of your presence be in my workplace? More of your presence wherever I am? Because if you are there, then no matter what happens, I can trust that you will be with me. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we gather in this space in order to pursue you, to listen, to open up our ears and our hearts and our minds and our lives to allow you to speak into us. And so God, I thank you for the testimonies of our students. I thank you for how you're working in the youngest of generations. And I pray, God, they would continue to pursue you, that they would actually teach us what it looks like to enter into your presence, to walk in the confidence and trust that we can have in you. And I pray for those that maybe, God, they've been spending, maybe it's just this week, maybe it's the last month, maybe it's the last several years, but they have been pursuing answers or pursuing understanding or pursuing burning bush moments. And God, would you remind them that they've been pursuing the wrong thing? When they find themselves convicted. Because God, all you have invited us to do is to pursue you. And if we pursue you, you will make our path straight. If we pursue you, all other things will be added. And so teach us how to be in your presence. Teach us to be aware of your presence. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you're new or newish to New Life. We'd love to get to know you a little bit more. It's a great way to do that is to stop by one of our connection centrals on your way out. We would love to pray for you, encourage you, and help you take your next best step towards following Jesus. As you go today, may you go into a world to become aware of the presence of God. May you be on the lookout for where he is on the move. And when you see him moving, would you get curious? Would you walk up? Would you get to know him a little bit more? And trust that he is with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.